Hey, how's it going, everybody? How are you? This is Chris. This is episode 217 of the Libertarian Republican Podcast. And I want to do an episode about Ayn Rand. I want to do a short one because I know the last few have been long. So I want to try to keep this really short because I think most people have never read any Ayn Rand. And most people who criticize Ayn Rand, Democrats, have never read any Ayn Rand. And, like I always say, Democrats are dumb. They're really dumb people, and they're not educated at all, really. I mean, they may have gone to college, but they're not educated at all. They don't really know anything. And so, and I think Ayn Rand kind of fits well with my theme of the last, 6 months or whatever I've been talking about production versus productive people versus non-productive people. And, Ayn Rand didn't consider herself a libertarian. She considered herself an objectivist. She had sort of her own little philosophy that I don't really know the main differences between. I don't know much Ayn Rand. I haven't read a lot of Ayn Rand. I've read two books of Ayn Rand. I've read We the Living, which is terrific. It's just terrific. And Ayn Rand was born in Russia before the Soviet Union. She was born in 1905. So she was a kid during the Bolshevik Revolution. And she lived in the Soviet Union right at the first, the early times of the Soviet Union until she escaped. I think in the 30s is when she escaped. So she was probably 25 when she got out, 25 or 30 when she escaped the Soviet Union. So she lived for a while there. So she knew all about the Soviet Union. She experienced it firsthand. And We the Living is a book about life in the Soviet Union, and it is brutal, and everybody should read it because it really it's a book about how that system destroys your soul, it destroys your your mind, it changes you into somebody that you don't want to be. Now, it doesn't change the woman who is the main character. The main character is a woman, of course, and because she's a woman, Ayn Rand is a woman. So, in case you didn't know that, it's kind of an autobiographical. It's not really, but it's about her life. And it's about, and I don't want to give away the ending, but it's about the men her boyfriends and how one of them is an idealist who gets crushed by his, by the system crushes his spirit. And then another one is a communist who believes in the communism. He believes in Soviet Union. And then he ends up, he ends up killing himself. I'll tell you that. So, spoiler alert, sorry. But I won't tell you how the book ends. But it's really good. Everybody should read it. And the other one I read was Anthem. And Anthem is another novel. It's a short one. Anthem is very short. And it's about a kid who is living in an even more dystopian future than the Soviet Union, and where basically individualism has been outlawed and eradicated, and everybody, for example, you cannot refer to yourself as I. You don't say I went over there. You don't say that. You say we went over here. You don't say my food. You say our food. So it's really interesting how this is 1937 when she wrote this, and a key part of the society is control, basically mind control through pronouns. Does that sound familiar? Yeah, it's that kind of sounds familiar, doesn't it? This is what communists, and I say it all the time, the Democrats, the left wingers in America are communists, straight out of the Soviet Union. These are really, really horrible people. And this is all related. This is all they've, and I don't want to say that the average Democrat in America has read Ayn Rand and knows, oh yes, this is how we get people through pronouns. But the people at the top of this movement, they have read all this stuff. They know the Soviet Union. They know the history of the Soviet Union. And they're taking all the lessons that they see the Soviet Union as a lesson to be learned. They go, oh, we got to learn from how these people did it. And that's what and they're trying to create a new Soviet Union here in America. And but Anthem is a story about basically this dystopian future is a dark age. Basically, it's kind of a new dark age. And this kid discovers that he discovers electricity. He discovers the remnants of a future of I'm sorry, of a past advanced civilization. And of course, this is the civilization that the communists destroyed. And so they punish him for discovering this because they don't want anybody to know that humanity used to live actually very nice lives, and everybody was very the standard of living was much higher. They had electricity, all that kind of stuff. They don't want anybody to know that, and they don't want because they are the ones who destroyed it all. Because that's what communism does. Communism destroys your civilization, and so they don't want anybody to know that. So if you discover evidence of this past civilization, you get punished. And a little tidbit of trivia for you. There's a great band called Rush not from Russia, from Canada, and the rock band Rush, and their album 2112, which was in 1977, I think. The first side of it is basically Anthem. It's basically the story of Anthem. It's really good. But it's basically the story of this kid who discovers a guitar, and he's playing the guitar, and he brings the guitar to the elders of his community, of his civilization, and they punish him, and they said, oh, don't bother us with these with this toy. This is so they don't want it because it's evidence of a past that they destroyed. And it's evidence of, and of course music is this thing that they don't want anybody to have because music can maybe lift your spirits and turn you into a rebel maybe, so they don't want that. So it's a really good sort of interpretation of Anthem, but I highly recommend Anthem. It's short, it's an easy read. So it's 'cause it's not a it's like a novella. It's not really a novel. So but the reason I'm doing this episode really is because of that one famous quote that Ayn Rand is famous for, this famous quote, and it really dovetails nicely into what I've been talking about for months. But the quote is, quote, "When you see that in order to produce, you must obtain permission from men who produce nothing." And then it goes on. You may know that the end of the quote is, you may know that your society is doomed. That is the key. That's the key to what I've been talking about, productive people versus non-productive people. And now I'm not sure what year she said this or wrote this, but that is, she died, I think, in 90 or 85, or she died in, I think, in the 80s. But this is the key to, this is what I've been talking about, and I think that this is that argument that we need to make all the time, all day long. What do we want? What kind of a society do we want? Do we want a society where you are rewarded for producing things? Or do we want a society where the stupidest and most useless people get all the power? People like Joe Biden. Joe Biden is a completely useless and worthless, non-productive moron. And half of this country thinks he's great. Nobody asks, well, what has he ever done? Has he ever had a job? Does he know anything about anything? Like I always say, a Starbucks barista has more value to humanity than this moron, Joe Biden, and half of these people, not 90% of these people in Washington, who've never had real jobs. They don't, most of what they're doing, we don't need them to be doing at all. And this quote, that there's more to this quote. The quote is, when you see that in order to produce, you must obtain permission from men who produce nothing, when you see that money is flowing to those who deal not in goods, but in favors, when you see that men get richer by graft and by pull than by work, and your laws don't protect you against them, but protect them against you, which is a that's a you can look at Rothbard. Remember, I talked about Rothbard's Anatomy of the State, where he talked about what are the laws that the government enforces the most vigorously. Well, they enforce laws against themselves much more vigorously than they do laws against you. Like, if somebody violates your rights, the government doesn't care. They literally don't care. But if you violate their rights, oh, if you attack them, if you attack government in any way, they, oh boy, you're going to come and look, look at January 6th. You're going to go down in flames, but it goes on, when you see that corruption, when you see corruption being rewarded and honesty becoming a self-sacrifice, you may know that your society is doomed. So yeah, that's where we are. That's where we are in America. We've got this government that exists to serve itself, and they don't produce anything, and they hold themselves in tremendous high esteem, and they protect themselves. They don't really care about you. They don't really care about stores and the people who own things. Yeah, they don't care. All the squatters, you can go and just squat in someone's home, basically steal their home. And yeah, the Democrats don't care. They don't care. If you're in a blue state, the Democrats are communists. If you're in a blue state, the Democrats will not respect your property rights. So, because they're Marxists, they're communists. They believe that if you own anything, you must be an evil capitalist oppressor. You're evil, selfish, and greedy. And if someone is squatting in your home, well, they're obviously an oppressed poor person. So they get all the rights and you get nothing. And of course, the people who enforce these laws are the most absolutely worthless, useless, knowledgeless people in the world who have never done anything. And they're getting rich, basically. They are living like a aristocracy, and that's really what the Soviet Union was, right? It was an aristocracy. They couched their they talked in fancy terms about how it's all about the people, but it wasn't about the people. the vast majority of people in the Soviet Union suffered mercilessly, miserably. And the people who thrived and survived and got rich and lived very nice lives were the political ruling class. So it was a two-tiered society where the political ruling class, largely a non-productive political ruling class, lived like kings and queens. They lived very nice lives. They had everything they needed. And the people who actually did the work lived like peasants. And that's the kind of country that the Democrats want for America. That's it. And so I really recommend reading a couple of So, you know, because people on the left will bring up Ayn Rand every once in a while. And I think all of us need to have a basic knowledge of Ayn Rand so that we can come back at them a little bit. So, all right, that's it. I'm going to keep this one short. Well, it's not that short, 16 minutes, but I will see you on the next one. All right, please give this a like and a share and all that kind of stuff. And I'll see you next time. All right, bye-bye.